not a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 15-pound cheese wheel in
there. Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
This is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations. Everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Wow. Wow. Let me see here. I got to adjust my level. Hopefully this sounds good. We're still messing with the sound levels here, folks. We had to cut short the Pastor John Weaver sermon. That was a sermon that I really wanted you guys to hear. And I just ran in the door. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. Today is 4/22/2010. It is April 22nd, 2010. For those of you that don't keep track, this is the anniversary. I think it's the 10th anniversary of Elian Gonzalez. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. When they deported Elian Gonzalez back to Cuba. Back to Cuba. That was immigration folks that went in there. Forgive me here for a minute. I got to move stuff around. I literally was just helping a friend move a lot of furniture and ran in the door. And Lou was having problems with the computers, but he did a good job. He got us up. There may have been some glitches. Now he's shuffling computers around. And you doing okay over there, Lou?
Yeah.
Okay, good, 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 good. Anyone that's in the chat room now, let me know how this sounds. I need to know if it's a little overdriven or I can move away from the microphone, give it a more echoey sound. We're just trying to figure it out. I can't even hear myself. I got to plug into the speakers up here. Hang on, folks. So I can hear myself. Wow. I don't hear. Oh, there I am. There I am. Okay. Hopefully that's not too loud. The chat room's bumping. If you want to get in the chat. Oh, sounds just fine. Thank you, Olima. Great, great, great. So I'm not going to touch anything then. I'm going to leave it just the way it is. Lou, do you need to test anything over there? Got anything you need to test? Eventually. Well, just make sure you're low when you do it. Don't boom me out over here. I got my headphones all the way up, and all I hear is brrrr. So, let's see. Maybe I'll bring it up a little bit more right there. Okay. Yeah, see that? But that goes into the red. But it sounds good on our end, and that's all that matters. Well, this is day two of the experimental Dutch Jones radio program here on ubroadcast.com or listening to our the Dutch Jones radio network on dutchjones.tk. That's Dutch Jones. .tk. Make sure you spread that around. Cut and paste it everywhere you can. Your Facebook, your MySpace, your Twitter. I've never Twittered. I don't know how to Twitter. But if somebody wants to, you know, embed, if you're listening at the U Broadcast side of it, if you go to ubroadcast.com and look for Dutch Jones, there's a little, little thing at the bottom of the page where you can embed it. Please embed this player. Huh? Okay, we're going to do an audio test here. Go ahead, Lou.
Wakey, wakey, rise and shine, this is your 9 o'clock alarm call.
Okay, that's a bit loud. Yeah, but everything is going good. Everything is going good. This little incident is turning into a blessing. I've been communicating with Liberty Tree Radio. I guess they listened to yesterday's show. Man, I got chili here on this computer. I just ate a can of chili. I forgot to eat today. Something that diabetics should not do, forget to eat. But I talked to them, and it looks like what we're going to do probably in a few days, they're going to be carrying my Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday first hour, the 5 o'clock hour. And they'll be just picking up the U-Broadcast feed and putting it out over Liberty Tree Radio, their network. And honestly, I'm honored at that because Liberty Tree Radio, it's got Mark Kornke, Spike Timmons, a lot of all these different really good leaders in the movement that are on there. So it'll help expose us to a different audience. I mean, I'm obviously not going to teach them anything new about the movement or anything like that, but the way we do our show is a lot different than they do theirs. I try to be a little more entertaining, a little more topical, and of course we're going to just put in a lot of Christianity. Not that they're lacking it. Cornkey over there, he brings up stuff. They run commercials for Tozer, A.W. Tozer. Was that you said? Did you say that? What was that noise? Did you say A.W. Tozer?
Yeah.
It sounded like the computer said it, you know, when you're playing with the computer voices. So what we're going to do is we're going to look for some sponsors. We're going to look for businesses, if you can think of any businesses that might want to sponsor us, because we need to bring about $80 a month in to cover the cost of going on Liberty Tree Radio, just to pay for, because somebody has to sit there and switch it. So it's an honorable and a fair thing to do. So if somebody's going to sit there and turn it on at 5 o'clock Pacific every time, we should be paying them, and I think that's a good thing. I'd like to find a business that would be willing to sponsor, and I'll make them a commercial. And what I'll do is I'll play their commercial at the half hour, plus mention their product. So it'll work out to about, it's going to be like $20 a week, and get advertising over a massive network, Liberty Tree Radio. Let me move my microphone stand here. Sorry, guys, it sounds terrible, I know. But that's what we want to do, you know, give it a little more legitimacy to more people. So that's what the plan is. We have not heard from Nicholas or First Amendment Radio. I assume he still has my stuff in the archives. That's fine.
We're still blocked.
We're still blocked. We can't get into First Amendment Radio, but that's okay. The point, you know, is we're moving on. So with that said, we've got a lot of topics to cover today. I got a call just before I went on the air, and I can't find anything to back this up, but satellite Fox News, you know, whatever is it, I don't even know the names of the different satellite networks, was reporting that the head of Acorn, which has changed its name to something else, Beatrice Lewis, was saying that, yes, indeed, she was speaking before the Socialist Young Democrats or something somewhere, and said that folks like you and me and the Tea Party movement, she called them the Bowel Movement, we're all going to end up in FEMA camps when they get control. She was just outright blatantly admitting it. I can't find anything to back that up. The person who told me, I trust him with my life, so I know he heard it on whatever the satellite network is. I can never remember the name of it. But if you guys know of any links that we can go to for that, is everything going okay? I just heard a loud pop. I don't know what that was. Did we step on a cable or something? But that's something we need to find in the news. But I got a bunch of other news for you. Things are getting weirder and weirder and weirder. As I said at the beginning, I'm going to talk a little bit about Elian Gonzalez, this being the 10th year anniversary. Remember that picture of that jackbooted thug putting that, I think it was an MP5 or an M4 or something, right in the kid's face? Why isn't it opening? Okay, here we go. Revisiting the Elian Gonzalez fiasco. This is from Time Magazine. Given all the genuinely weighty events of the intervening years, from 9/11 to the Iraq War to the election of our first black president, he's not black, he's mixed race, it's hard to imagine that a decade ago, I and so many other journalists, as well as millions of rapt readers viewed around the world, spent 5 months outside a modest house in Miami's little Havana watching a six-year-old Cuban boy named Elian Gonzalez. His media code name, we can now reveal now, was The Rabbit, as in The Rabbit's Out, which jaded television cameramen shouted whenever Elian stepped into the yard. Isn't that sick? I come down two sides on this story, remembering it historically. As a parent now, back then I was just like, you know, oh, let him stay, how dare they. But his father was still alive and in Cuba, and his mother left without his knowledge of it, and I think, I, as a father, what if my wife's ex-wife suddenly decided to run off to Cuba and take my daughter? And some cousin of hers up in Canada went, oh, let me take care of him. So take out the communist thing, and it's kind of weird, and I'm torn on this one. I really am. I really, really am. But I remember it. I remember people were exploiting it to its fullest. There was all kinds of Let Elian Stay t-shirts going out and around. I still think it was some kind of distraction. If we were to look back in history, what was going on at the same time, you know, it was the Butcher of Waco was involved again, Janet the Butch Reno, and it actually is an MP5 that he's pointing towards the people in the closet, but he does not have his finger on the trigger. It's kind of sad, but it was a sign of things to come, wasn't it? Totally was. They're showing him today. He's 16 years old, I think. And he looks like just any other Cuban guy. So that's what's going on there. Let's see here. Hey, Rocky Hill's here. Rocky Hill, I hope you got the message that we've moved. We have moved. I'm typing in the chat room. The chat room. It's a chat room where people chat. Oh, man, where's my phone? Grab my phone. Get it away from the soundboard. See if somebody's calling. Sorry about that noise. That's what happens when we go through the when it starts telling everybody where I'm at. Alright, if you have any memories of Elian Gonzalez or how that went, you give me a call. And I realize listening to a replay on my show, I give this way too fast. Area code 559-561-8225. Okay, so that's 559-561-8225. What do you remember about Elian Gonzalez? I just remember everybody being fascinated by it. That is the same story. I just opened it and it's the same story here. I got two things are the same here. So let's go to show topics. Let's move on to the next. Oh, here's one. I think Olima sent me this one. It's on gun buybacks in Los Angeles. You know, they usually do these around the Christmas season or Turkey Day, you know, Thanksgiving, where they offer food cards for guns, which I always thought would be fun. And they're showing shopping carts full of guns. And, you know, I don't know the quality of most of them, but whew. But the 210 Gun Buyback Initiative frequently asked questions. Let's see. 9 News has teamed up with the City of Los Angeles to get more guns off the street. Below is a list of locations that will be accepting guns on May 8th. I think that's pretty funny. You'll get a Ralph's gift card valued at $100 for handguns and a $200 one for assault weapons. So if I knew this was going to be and I had some cold hard cash and I could stand up there with $200 or just cases of, you know, beer or something to trade, I would do it. I would definitely do it. And it's got all the locations here for all these things going on. It's insane. So you're going to be doing this on May 8th in L.A., Hollenbeck. It's all over L.A. So if you're in L.A. and you see a bunch of folks walking around with assault weapons, they're just going to get some grocery certificates. Roll down the window and offer them $200 cash for what they got. You know? It says people can turn their guns in anonymously with no questions asked. Yeah, right. You know, as soon as they get them, they're going to ballistic check every single one of those weapons. They are going to fingerprint every single one of those guns. And, you know, so it's turn in your guns, get some groceries. Pretty sad. Pretty sad. I think we should do that. I wish if you could get your church group to do that, hand out canned food for guns, and then that way your church folks will have guns. Don't you think that would be a good idea? So thanks, Olima, for sending that in. What's this next story? You guys have been sending me a lot of good stories. You guys, it was like a burst. It's like now that I've shifted, you're like, oh, I'm going to help Dutch out. Let's get him some stories. Now, this one is from Reuters. And this one, come on, it's loading. We're loading. We're loading. We're loading. And it takes a while for everything to load. So the chat room is doing good. That's one way you can get in on the conversation. You're not watching the chat room, are you? Yeah, I'll have to watch the chat room till Stacy gets home from work, and then we'll let her look over my shoulder. But I'm glad to have people back. We don't know how many people are listening. I embedded this all over the place, so it should be pretty good. Okay, here we go. Let's go back to the story. Oh, here we go. Speaking of guns, food for guns, guess what our fearless leader that everybody, Barack the Magic Negro, he signed a treaty today. Remember I told you he was going to sign that international disarmament treaty with the UN? Well, he signed it. Okay, the United States reversed policy on Wednesday and said it would back launching talks on a treaty to regulate arms sales as long as the talks operated by consensus, a stance critics say gave every nation a veto. The decision announced in a statement released by the U.S. State Department overturns the position of former President George W. Bush, which had opposed such a treaty on the grounds that national controls were better. Strange, one of the few things Bush got right. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary the Man Clinton said the United States would support the talks as long as the negotiating forum, the so-called Conference on the Arms Trade Treaty, operates under the rules of consensus decision-making. Now, we all know what happens in a consensus. Nobody gets their way and everybody's miserable, but what really happens is we all lose our rights. Now, consensus is needed to ensure the widest possible support for the treaty and to avoid loopholes in the treaty that can be exploited by those wishing to export arms irresponsibly, Clinton said in a written statement. Now, while praising the Obama administration's decision to overturn the Bush-era policy and to proceed with negotiations to regulate conventional arms sales, Some groups criticized the U.S. insistence that decisions on the treaty be unanimous. Of course, all the little nations want to disarm us. All the terrorist nations want to disarm us. China wants to disarm us. Now, the shift in position by the world's biggest arms exporters is a major breakthrough in launching formal negotiations at the United Nations. Anytime I see that word, that's a huge red flag. In order to prevent irresponsible arms transfers, Amnesty International and Oxfam International said in a joint statement. However, they said insisting that decisions on the treaty be made by consensus could fatally weaken the final deal. Governments must resist U.S. demands to give any single state the power to veto the treaty, as they could hold the process hostage during the course of negotiations. We call on all governments to reject such veto clauses, says Oxfam International Policy Advisor Debbie, I'm a socialist, Nazi Hiller. The proposed legally binding treaty would tighten regulations of and set international standards for the import, export, and transfer of conventional weapons. That's everything that you can shoot, shoulder, or from a holster. Supporters say it would give worldwide coverage to close gaps in existing regional and national arm export control systems that allow weapons to pass into the illicit market. You know, they always say that. It's going to keep guns out of criminals' hands. It's going to keep guns out of rebels' hands. What it's going to do is keep guns out of the citizens' hands. So the only people who will have guns will be terrorists and the cops and occupational troops. 3rd Infantry Division, NORCOM. Nations would remain in charge of their arms export control arrangements, but would be legally obliged to assess each export against criteria agreed under the treaty. Governments would have to authorize transfers in writing and in advance, which means any, you know, you really, really like German guns, you like your German Glocks, you like Walther PPKs, all that, it's going to become a thing of the past. Arms exporters, China, Russia, and Israel abstained last year in a UN vote on the issue. Kind of weird. The proposed treaty is opposed by conservative U.S. think tanks like the Heritage Foundation, which said last month that it would not restrict the access of dictators and terrorists to arms, but would be used to reduce the ability of democracies such as Israel to defend their people. The U.S. lobbying group, the National Rifle Association, has also opposed the treaty. Yeah, they got to act like they're doing something. A resolution before the UN General Assembly is sponsored by 7 nations, including major arm exporter Britain. It calls for preparatory meetings in 2010 and 2011 for a conference to negotiate the treaty. So he didn't actually sign the treaty. I was misleading when I said that. He's now ready to sit down and negotiate the treaty, which would control small arms into the U.S. and around the world. So all the Christians in Africa that are being killed by Muslim militias will not be able to get weapons. That's the whole point of it. You see what they're doing? You see exactly what they're doing? I don't know what you guys think about this, but it personally makes me very angry. Chinese ammo is corrosive, Rocky Hill said. Now, it doesn't make any sense to me to make treaties with other nations to agree that we won't export or import arms. It completely gives up sovereignty. And it goes against the heritage of this nation and the culture of this nation, the majority of us that own guns. There's probably 200 million gun owners in America. Even a lot of liberals own guns. I just don't want people to know about it. And what happens is, and as they're saying in the chat room right now, the arms dealers just sell to both sides anyway. Except in a lot of these African countries, the Christians don't have the money. They can't pay the huge price. So the only way they're going to get weapons is on the black market. So they're trying to shut down the flow of weapons because there's the cost and there's all those things related to it. That keep them out of the hands of the regular people, but they want to keep them out of the hands of just everyone now. So that big gun in the front of the UN, the pistol with the twisted in a knot barrel, that's what this is about, folks. That's what it's all about. Let's see here. Today was Bring Your Kids to Work Day. I always bring my son to work. And schools are suggesting that you don't take your kids to work. Takes them out and they lose funding that day. They're afraid that you'll actually educate your own kids.
What?
Yeah, so if it's too late for you because the show's so late in the day, but today was Take Your Kid to Work Day. And more false flag stuff going on. It looks like Israel or somebody is launching missiles at Jordan, trying to trigger something. A Russian-made rocket hits the Red Sea port of Aqaba in Jordan. A rocket launched from outside Jordan struck a refrigerated warehouse in the country's Red Sea port city of Aqaba, officials said Thursday. Jordanian Information Minister Nabil al-Sharif said initial investigations indicate the rocket was a Russian-designed GRAD missile, G-R-A-D, that's G-R-A-D missile, that was fired from beyond Jordan's borders. He said authorities continue to look into the explosion to determine exactly where the missile was launched from. You're telling me that NORAD and Israel, who has access to NORAD, didn't see this thing coming in or where it came from? So they could say, oh no, it didn't come from us. Now, al-Sharif, who is also a government spokesperson, told the Associated Press the rocket damaged a refrigerated warehouse on Aqaba's northern outskirts. No deaths or injuries have been reported. I don't know the size of the missile. I should have Googled that and see how big it is. I don't know if this is a vehicle launch, shoulder launched, or if this is something that has to come from a multi-crew serve base. Now, earlier Thursday, police said they found the remains of what they thought was a Katyusha rocket. They said that they were trying to determine the launch site and who might have been behind the attack. Those of you that don't know, the Katyusha rockets are the homemade rockets made out of car fenders that the Palestinians blindly shoot into Israel. It's kind of their way of throwing rocks at Goliath. Now, Aqaba residents reported hearing at least two early morning explosions in the city. So somebody is rocketing these folks. Now, the Israeli media also reported that two rockets hit Aqaba and Israel's nearby port of Eilat. That's E-I-L-A-T. So somebody's trying to trigger something between the two nations. Could it be the Mossad? Now, the Israeli army said it searched the Eilat area after the reports surfaced, but found no evidence of anything landing in Israel. The incident occurred as jitters were high a week after Israel issued an urgent warning to its citizens to leave Egypt's nearby Sinai Peninsula immediately, citing concrete evidence of an expected terrorist attempt to kidnap Israelis in the Sinai. Now, an Egyptian security official, who also spoke on condition of anonymity, which means just made up out of thin air, released information to the media, denied reports that rockets were fired from Sinai on Thursday. Excuse me, I'm playing with some bullets here and I dropped them. Jordan's King Abdullah II was in neighboring Egypt on Thursday for talks with President Hosni Mubarak. It was not immediately clear whether the leaders would discuss the attack. I'm sure they knew all about it. Now, Israel's anti-terror office issued the warning last week and maintains a standing travel advisory telling Israelis to stay out of the Sinai Desert because of the threat of terror attacks. The GRAD, known as the BM-21 GRAD, is a, here you go, I should have read the whole article, a truck-mounted 122-millimeter multiple rocket launcher developed in the early 1960s in the Soviet Union military. Experts say it has a maximum range of about 40 kilometers, which is 25 miles. So anybody could have done this. I wish I lived in a place where I could go buy something like this at an army surplus, a BM-21. So who knows who launched it, but I'm pretty sure Israel's behind it. Probably trying to trigger a retaliation so that they could come down hard on their neighbors. This has been the pattern of both sides. Both sides will use false flag attacks so that they can trigger hostilities, which ultimately brings more funding and attention to their causes. So whenever the Israelis overdo it and abuse the Palestinians, people start pouring sympathy in for them, and whenever there are bus attacks and stuff in Israel, sympathy sways their way, and U.S. senators and congressmen send them everything they need. So there's a lot of that going on there. So interesting. I get worried that some of this stuff may start happening here. I still am surprised we don't get more random soft target attacks in the U.S. I really don't understand it. Back over in Georgia, the nation, not the state, there's been talk of some uranium being seized and all this kind of stuff. Russia claims it's not involved in Georgia uranium seizure. This is from Vienna, AP News. Russia on Thursday angrily rejected accusations by Georgia's president linking Moscow to a case of attempted uranium smuggling and suggested he was lying in a new flare-up of tensions between the hostile neighbors. Now, I remember a few weeks ago, Georgia put on all their news and pulled a War of the Worlds thing and made it look like Russia was invading, trying to trigger a revolt and civil disturbances. So there's a lot going on there. Keep your eye on Georgia. Now, the Kremlin's sharp retort followed comments Wednesday by President Mikhail Saakashvili, the president, I don't know who he is, who told the Associated Press that his country had seized a shipment of highly enriched uranium and blamed Russia for creating the instability that allows nuclear smugglers to operate in the region. Now, I have no doubt that Russia is smuggling out all kinds of uranium, and in that I also believe that a lot of it is going to terrorists. But I also believe that the CIA is paying for that uranium, and the CIA is training those terrorists. Now, the president of Georgia gave, I can't pronounce his name, gave few details, saying only that the uranium was intercepted last month, coming into his country in the Caucasus region of Southeast Europe. But he suggested that Moscow shared some responsibility, saying that under Russian control, Georgia's two breakaway regions have become havens for nuclear smugglers. See, they're putting this stuff, you got to keep this on the board, you got to remember this. They're setting us up. I really honestly think they're setting us up for a small tactical nuke attack. That's why they're putting this stuff in here, so they can blame it on Russia. They're saying it's a security black hole over there in Eastern Europe, and this stuff's just moving around. To be honest with you, I think the nukes are already here. They walked them right across the porous border, disguised as Mexicans. These Middle Easterners brought them across, and they're probably placed in major cities across at least seven cities, I would say. Because if they could deliver that kind of punch to seven cities, even a tactical nuke, which would only cover a few blocks, this country's going to fall apart like a house of cards. So that's why this stuff's in the media. Now, the International Atomic Energy Agency refused to comment. Yeah. But a diplomat familiar with the issue said that the Vienna-based UN agency has been informed by the Georgian government and was assisting in its investigation. The diplomat asked for anonymity. You notice all these guys, anonymity, anonymity? They just make these stories up and throw them out there and tell the press to do it. And the press is a willing accomplice. The media whores love to put this stuff in. Even though those nukes have been here probably since before 9/11, they're going to make it look like there's something going on now that's bringing them in. This is not the first time that the president of Georgia has been caught red-handed while making false statements, said Lakhin Frogloglov. Said he shouldn't present a lie as the truth. The head of Georgia's nuclear safety agency, Zal Lomatadze, told AP Television News in Tbilisi that an organized group of people tried to smuggle in a small amount of enriched uranium with the purpose of selling it to any would-be buyer. Yeah, right. He blamed Moscow for past incidents, saying Georgia has registered such smuggling attempts involving Russian citizens as well as people from the breakaway Georgia territories of Abkhazia and South Ossetia on the Georgian border with Russia to the south, with all but one border crossing going through the breakaway regions. He pointed to a 2006 sting stemming from the investigation in South Ossetia as evidence for the smuggling problem in the breakaway republics. See, this is, what was smuggled? It was weapon-grade uranium, enriched. It could be used as a fissile core, but you need about 44 pounds of it to do a good-sized bomb. They don't need to do a good-sized bomb. Downtown L.A., I don't remember the name of the building now, but it used to be the old First Interstate building. A suitcase bomb at the top of that would kill about 30,000 people instantly and then affect tens of thousands after that. So they don't need to have a big bomb. They don't need to have it up in an airplane or dropped by or struck by a missile, you know, a high-altitude detonation. We have enough places in America in high-density populations where they could just bring them up to the top of a building. Now, Obama has pointed to Russia's cooperation as an essential as his goal to reduce the world's nuclear materials within the next 4 years. You know, that's why they did this treaty, to draw attention away from this. Now, I don't know why Georgia's making such a big noise about it unless it's to scare us. When they let us know what's going on, it's prior notice. Remember Lindsey Williams? It's prior notice, folks. Now, these bombs, not too long ago, they were telling us that, in fact, it was in the news, that an ex-Special Forces guy was arrested for dragging a 55-gallon drum basically from South America all the way into Phoenix with everything but the uranium in it, and it was a nuclear bomb that he put together. It's pretty weird. What's going on in the chat room? What are we talking about here? I'll get a hard copy. Now it's going too fast. I can't read it. Yeah, the part we're seeing, part of the plan here is blowing it along. There you go. False flag attacks are coming, folks. That's what they're talking about in the chat room. I wish there was a way I could make the chat room bigger. I miss a lot of the stuff that they're saying. I don't see. If I do this, maybe, does that make it bigger? Nope, just makes the black box bigger. But yeah, that's what they're doing. They're getting us ready. You got a song that you could throw up for the break? We're coming up on a 30-minute break. We're going to play something different. What do you got out of Carl Klang that we haven't played yet?
Blinded by the Lies.
Blinded by the Lies. This is Carl Klang. We're going to be back in about 2 minutes. I just need to take a break. Go ahead and start it. Start the music.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order.
The new world order does not mean surrendering our national sovereignty or forfeiting our interests.
Okay, no, you're not going to play the intro. We'll play the intro at the top of the hour. I'm back. Are you still here? Let me look to see if you guys are still here. I had to run up and grab a candy bar to get my sugar back up. Okay. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. It is the, I got to look at the little thing up here, the 22nd of April, 2010. It's about 5:34 p.m. Pacific time. If you're listening to this any other time, it's a repeat. It will continue to play and play and play. I noticed during the day, a lot of people come in and listen, as high as five or six people at a time. Click on the DutchJones.tk website and actually listen to the replay as it goes through. It's kind of cool seeing so many folks in there. Now, it looks like a lot of people have figured out how to sign in. There's still a couple just guests in there, but I can see a lot of the regulars are in there. That's good. I encourage you also to go, if you need anything tactical or survival-wise, go to djstore.tk. djstore.tk. We really, really need you to start buying stuff from us. If you need it anyway, don't buy it if you don't need it. I'm not asking for charity on that, but we've got some good gear. We just got another delivery in. Those of you that ordered, we are shipping your stuff out as we speak. We talked to the UPS guy. We're trying to get him to come, you know, here at a regular time. He usually comes late in the day, but he came earlier today. So we're doing pretty good there. Those of you that have made donations, we're going to also send you some sermons and those types of things. We're kind of lost with Stacy gone during the day, but she needed to find a job so we could continue this. Our goal is to move into a new location and where we can have faster, better, bigger internet so that we'll be able to do a literal 24-hour-a-day network right here. You know, I will do the Liberty Tree radio thing, but I'll do what I can do. With that, I am looking for Category 5 cable. Those of you that are computer guys know what that is, because we are moving out of the front lobby of the library, because it's just not tactically sound, to an inner room that is being prepared for us. It'll be like a safe room. It'll be a little harder to get to, and it gives us better observation of approaching possibilities, let's put it that way. I need Category 5 cable, and I need about 150 feet of it. And I'm not an expert in this stuff, so we need to go from our router. We're gonna just throw it over the roof, you know, put it in some PVC pipe or something. I don't know, but we've got to move our operations to the interior of the building for obvious reasons. So if anybody out there knows where we can score any Category 5 cable, I don't care if it's used or what. That's all I know what it's called. But we need that, so that would be good if you could. Turn us on to somebody who has some for cheap. Too much info, Dutch, yeah. But we'd like to do that. So we just want to make sure we have the cable so we can move these computers. I'm looking right out the front door right now, out the big glass windows, and I can see them, they can see me, so we just want to move it in. And plus, it's going to be more of a studio setup. You know, sometimes you'll hear people in the background looking at books and things, which I don't mind so much, but I think it was good. But what was that DJ was playing with the box and got cut off? I'm not sure what you're talking about. Playing with the box and got cut off. But I'm not sure what's going on there. So that's what we're doing there. More and more, let's move on to the next article here that was sent to me by Steve from Southern California. The chat box. I was trying to enlarge the chat box. I don't know if I can. Is that what this is? Does this enlarge the chat box?
No. That's colored.
Yeah, I can't change the size of the chat box because I can only see somewhat of what you're saying. You guys are typing so fast. It's Category 5, Rocky Hill Ranger. I need Cat 5 with connectors on it, about 150 feet of it, so that we can put it, we can move the computers to the interior. Arizona is just amazing to me. They're doing more and more stuff. So this was sent in actually by a couple of you. It was from yesterday. I didn't get to it, but I'll talk about it today. The Arizona House has approved a bill that would make it a crime to be in the state illegally. Wow, there's a thought for you. The law, which requires local law enforcement officials to inquire about an individual's immigration status, will now go back to the state Senate. The Senate needs to approve the version passed by the House. If signed into law, illegal aliens found in the state could be arrested. They would get jail time and fined up to $2,500. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer has not indicated whether or not she will sign the bill into law, but she has said she supports immigration enforcement at the local level. Now, this bill is amazing. This is Arizona again. It's not a federal bill. This is Arizona. This is the state stepping up and taking the authority back, right? So we need to applaud Arizona. A ban on so-called soft immigration policies at local police agencies and would allow people to sue if they feel a government agency has adopted a policy that hinders the enforcement of illegal immigration. Now, it will prohibit people from blocking traffic when they seek or offer day labor services. Now, I don't know what it's like in the rest of America, but in Southern California, it is unbearable around any hardware, you know, one of the big mega stores, Lowe's or Home Depot. Lowe's is good about it. They chase them off. But in cities like Pomona, Pasadena, Rancho Cucamonga, they put up these little illegal alien work sites. They actually help them, and they block traffic. And this is a great way of doing it. Plus, I wish they would give tickets to the contractors who are slowing down. Now, Arizona is one of four states in the country that require all employers, public and private, to use E-Verify. The state also prohibits in-state tuition to illegal aliens and has tough residency requirements for driver's licenses. Here in California, an illegal alien gets cheaper college tuition than someone who's lived here their whole life. And I'm glad Arizona is doing this. And the Senator Russell Pierce is sponsoring this. So State Senator Russell Pierce for Arizona is to be praised if on this. I don't know much about him on the other side. Meanwhile, President Obama proposes to cut 180 Border Patrol agents to bring the budget into balance. His newly opposed 2011 budget would reduce the number of Border Patrol agents along the southwest border by 180 and cut the funding for the virtual fence. Homeland Security said it plans to cut the jobs through attrition, and it would result in increased pay for the remaining agents. Because they're going to cut that, cut 180, but then everybody has to do overtime. That's just how retarded our government is. Now, White House senior officials say the move will not compromise the effectiveness of the Border Patrol. That's ridiculous. You take 180 soldiers off the wall, and it's not going to hurt anything? Now, House Judiciary Ranking Member Lamar Smith, he's a Republican from Texas, says otherwise. The president's budget proves once again that the Obama administration is not serious about enforcing our nation's immigration laws. No, in fact, the contrary, Senator. It's actually the fact that he is going to do everything within his power to put through his next level of attack on the Constitution, and that's going to be his immigration reform policy. They're gearing us up for this, folks. You know, immigration is a pet subject of mine, being a Minuteman and supporting several Minutemen and knowing Minutemen personally. We cannot let up on this. They're going to call it the Border Security Act. Watch. Now, the administration found money for 25 new positions in the Secretary of Homeland Security's management office, but didn't find funds for any of the following critical Homeland Security programs. There is no funding for a single new detention bed. So, let's say they round up these illegal aliens. They have to cite them and release them because they're not going to build any more holding facilities. But I thought all these FEMA camps were for illegal aliens. No increase in funds to find and deport immigration fugitives or criminal aliens. Now, I can tell you this for a fact. When I worked in the San Bernardino County jail system, I was a booking officer. I was a contractor. And I had to bring people in, and I also get to book them. I get to sit behind the desk. Every time we brought in somebody that looked hinky like an illegal alien, like he had four IDs on him, I would call Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and maybe one time out of ten did they come and get the guy. Even if he was a criminal, even if he was a violent felon. They didn't care. Where did I stop here? No additional special agents to investigate workplace immigration violations. Now that's because a lot of these businesses are lobbyists. A lot of these businesses, these big businesses, in fact, I told you the story, Riverside Fence Company that was responsible for contracting and building much of the new fence in California between our two nations, the border fence, was hiring illegal aliens to build the border fence. So they're not going to hire any, I mean, they're already doing a crappy job now, and they're not going to try and do a better job. Now, there's no funding to expand the visa security program. That's where they, you know, they check on people that overstay their visas. That's a big one. And that's exactly how all the terrorists get here. You know, these people come from Yemen and Qatar and all and Morocco and Ethiopia on a student visa or a work visa or a tourism visa or a medical visa sometimes to come here and benefit from our once great medical systems. And they stay over, but they're not going to expand that. And no funding to build any more of the border fence. What they built so far is a joke, folks. And they're not going to do anything to stop this porous border. And we both know why. All you and I, you sheepdogs out there, you Dutch Jones sheepdogs, know the reason why. They want labor pressure. They want Democratic votes. They want criminals to come across to victimize us so that we will cry for more, what? Law enforcement. That's why they don't shut down the border. I'm going to go on more with what this member Lamar Smith of Texas says. The president ought to be using immigration enforcement to address key priorities such as jobs and national security. Yeah, any non-retarded common sense person would agree with you on that, sir. But our president is a retard. He's a retarded puppet. No offense to any retards that are listening. I have more respect for you. But instead of doing so, the Obama administration is maintaining the status quo. That means that citizens and legal immigrants will be forced to continue to compete with 8 million illegal aliens for jobs. It's more like 20 million, folks. And by underfunding key national security programs, we leave ourselves vulnerable to future terrorist attacks. Well, that's what they want, Lamar Smith, Republican from Texas. Your party's in on it, too. We want more terrorist attacks. It's a win-win for the New World Order to keep our southern border open, isn't it? Now, the virtual fence would have funding cut by $226 million. $226 million. Let's see. By today's prices, that would have built about 100 yards of fence anyway. The system is made up of cameras, radar, and sensors placed on towers. Obama's budget does include an increase of $103 million for improvements to E-Verify. I've been a subject to that E-Verify, and as long as you have a fake Social Security number and an ID card that you can buy anywhere in L.A., it's not going to matter, folks. E-Verify is a joke. It's a huge joke. Lamar, a.k.a. Scumbag. Let's see. What do we got going on in the chat room here? Don't try the pop-up window. It kills your page. I don't know what they're talking about, the pop-up window. Olima, you're in Pomona? I used to go to protests in Pomona outside the Home Depot there. Got into a few really good fist fights with some thugs that thought it was funny to beat up on a lady in a wheelchair over there that was protesting them. We would take pictures of the cars when they'd roll up. We'd go and harass the contractor and say, "How dare you, sir? How dare you hire an illegal alien?" The police were pretty cool, but those protests, they have their place. I had a friend that went down there, got hit in the head with a bucket of paint, cracked his head open, so you got to be careful. Now, illegal immigration is not just about jobs, folks. It's not about jobs. It's about culture. Look at how many American cities, the inner city portions, are now looking like something south of the border. They look like Tijuana. All the small towns in the Central Valley, everything's in Spanish, folks. Everything is in Spanish. Now, I'm not anti-Mexican, but I'm pro-American. And if you come here, you better darn well assimilate to our culture. I don't go into my neighbor's house and start rearranging his furniture and changing the color of his carpet and his blinds, right? So what's the point? And why do we allow it to happen in our nation? Police are pretty cool in a freezer. Well, one thing I was saying, the police were pretty cool. They kind of looked the other way when we were wailing on them. It was always self-defense. We never started anything. So PennDOT, that's what I was talking about. The police were pretty cool there in Pomona. When somebody came over and got in our face or spit on us, if we threw a few elbows or knees to the groin, they didn't come after us. But more and more, this country is being undermined, eroded away, our heritage, our culture. And this isn't a racial thing. This is a cultural issue. America, we are a melting pot. But what they're doing is they're dumping the melting pot out and putting in their own recipe. And yeah, New York City too, they say, and PennDOT says in the chat room. I don't think there's a city in America you can go to that the downtown hasn't been overrun. I get reports from listeners in Atlanta. Atlanta is overrun with illegal immigrations from South and Central America. And it's just, I'm speechless on this issue. That more folks aren't on the border. I used to go down every other weekend, and if I could stop 10 or 20 from coming in, it was worth it. I went down there with a member of our church. Well, actually, I went down there several, and one of them said, "There's no use in it. There's no point in doing it." At that point, I totally lost respect for that person because I thought, okay, fine. You're not willing to stand in the gap and do anything. You're not invited anymore. And unfortunately, that's the attitude of most Americans. We've got we talked last week to the Border Patrol auxiliary guy, Mr. Braun. I don't have his name in front of me. His last name was Braun. There's a link on our page. Go to DutchJones.tk. You can help out the Border Patrol auxiliary. You can go to the CampoMinutemen.com. CampoMinutemen.com. It's a link on our page. You're thinking, hey, I got a 2-week vacation coming up. Go to the border. You want to be a militia member and you want to put boots on the ground and put your money where your mouth is? Come to the southern border with Mexico. And I'm sure there are all kinds of folks up there, all kinds of folks up there on the northern border that would need your help too. I could do this show on nothing but illegal immigration and our southern porous border and the attacks on American culture. If I drive around here, I see Mexican flags everywhere. And all these little towns and hamlets up here, Orosi, Cutler, they've all been taken over. The town down south of us, Woodlake, people tell me that it was a Leave It to Beaver town in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And then in the 80s, it was taken over and destroyed. And you watch the local news, it's nothing but shootings, drug dealing. I mean, all around me right now, there are illegal alien marijuana-maintained fields from the drug cartels that came up south of the border. They're already here. It's not a matter of when it's going to happen. Mexico is taking back the expatriates. They're repatriating this section. They're an occupational force. And we have a great opportunity as militiamen to do something about it. I mean, even if you just organize something under the guise of neighborhood watch and go after these people. You know, they're using the Mexican embassy is giving out, you know, over here, especially in San Bernardino, consular cards. And in the United States, you can come open a checking account with those. You can get a driver's license with those. I need like 8 forms of ID just to open a checking account, and I'm an American citizen. We have made these illegal aliens super citizens. Do you know one of the things I learned as a Minuteman, one of the number one destinations for pregnant illegal aliens? Disneyland. They go to Disneyland to have their babies because they have an infirmary there. Their babies are delivered there. They become automatic citizens when they're born on U.S. soil. Plus, Disney puts all these gifts on them, and then the mother gets to stay as a, you know, she has an anchor baby. The jails, it's something like 30 to 40% of California jails have illegal aliens in them. Some people want to send them back, but as soon as we send them back, they just let them out of jail. And let's talk about extradition. We have people, Mexican illegal aliens, scumbags. They're not even people. They're subhuman as far as I'm concerned. These ones that do this stuff, not the regular illegal aliens. They're humans looking to feed their kids. Don't get me wrong. They're still breaking the law. But we have criminals that come up here, career criminals that will kill American citizens, murder them horribly, rape and mutilate them, torture them, cut their heads off, and ship it to their parents, and then go back to Mexico, and Mexico will not extradite them because we have the death penalty, and we're not going to waver on that. They will not extradite for life in prison or death sentences. Stacy just walked in. That's why I kind of stumbled a little bit. Hello, Stacy. Hello, Stacy. Chat room's full again, but you can pull up a chair or something. But this illegal alien immigration is more than just about jobs. It is more than about security on the border. It's about the very existence of American culture. America is a unique experiment. America, at one time, was the greatest place on earth. That's why, and people still think that, or they wouldn't be sneaking in, right? So we have to do something about this. We can't allow the president to throw another open door policy piece of legislation out for everybody to vote for. Yeah, that's right. Rocky Ranger saying that they have pamphlets. They have training camps in Mexico on how to get across the border. They have these special tennis shoes that have compasses in them, maps, little pockets to hide your stuff in. The Mexican government is using them as an occupational force because you know what the number one form of income is for the Mexican government? Well, number one is probably oil. Two is tourism. Three is the repatriation of U.S. dollars to Mexico. They don't want to stop it. But God help anybody coming up from south of Mexico and crossing their southern border through Guatemala, they'll get shot and killed. I was in Chiapas for a while. I can't tell you what I was doing there, but I was in Chiapas. I was on vacation. We found a group of unknown origin immigrants that came across that the U.S. military, the Mexican military shot and skinned them and laid them out there as a sign to other illegal aliens. Vicente Fox, the president at the time when this happened, said that American jobs are for Mexicans, not Guatemalans. Try going to Mexico as an illegal alien and getting involved in anything. I've had people on here that have lived in Mexico for decades as registered aliens because they need them there for their jobs. You can't do anything down there. You can't vote. You can't really own a business. You can't hire Americans. You have to. They force you to hire nationals. You know, Mexicans. I think we should take the Mexican immigration rules and laws and apply them here. Mexico's got it right. I'm not saying we should shoot and skin people on the border, but you get my idea. And as far, I mean, ranchers and farmers are being butchered on the border. Americans are being kidnapped, tortured, and beheaded when ransom isn't paid. And we're treating like it's nothing. It's Beirut in the 80s. Our border is like the Gaza Strip. More people are being killed in Mexico by terrorists than overseas now. Because, yes, I consider the narco-terrorists terrorists. And Jaws of Life is telling us the truth in the chat room. You come, you set 1 foot over here, you can get Social Security, you can get everything. I've got a destroyed spine. I've tried to get Social Security benefits 3 times and been denied. But yet Mexican illegal aliens come over here, don't even work, and they're senior, and they get senior citizens benefits. They are dependent upon cheap labor. They want a population that's already used to being enslaved. So that's all Central and South Americans are. They're slaves. People aren't going to complain. They're culturally different, so we can't convert them to the true American dream. They don't want to learn to speak English. They have their own television networks. They've got their own language. They've got their own stores, their churches. Everything caters to them.
I don't speak English.
Now, there must be a few of these folks. I run into them that are good people that come here legally. I have no problem with anybody who comes here legally. But watch. This is the new battleground, folks, as far as politics go. The immigration reform bill. That's what it's going to be. It's not going to be water here, you know, in California. They're not even going to address that. It's going to be making it easier for these folks to come in. Do you have a commercial for the store?
Yeah.
I need you to play the commercial for the store for a second. Let me know when it's queued up. Okay. I need a minute to hack out my voice here. But there's absolutely nothing on the horizon that looks good on this issue. Nothing. So the only thing we can do is help those that are on the border trying to do something or stand there with them. If you've got these work pickup places around you, make it miserable for them. Monkey wrench them. Go turn off their power, turn off their electricity. Put super glue in the locks of the little trailer that the cities are putting out. Yeah, that's right. I'm telling you to do civil disobedience, people. Don't hurt anybody. Just make it miserable for them. Stink bombs, mess with their sewer pipe, cut off their power, weld the door shut. You know, we need to start reacting to this stuff. We need to do it smartly, and we need to do it now. We're at war, people, and this is one of the fronts in the war. You know, I'm not telling you to hurt anybody, but do what you can. Do what you can. Redirect, put up phony signs that say, you know, no illegal aliens allowed, or, you know, put La Migra on the side of your truck and drive around. You know, do anything you can imagine to harass these people. Make it as uncomfortable for the people who hire them. Make it embarrass the politicians that accommodate them in your local communities. Because nationally, we're not going to have any say, but locally, we can. So with that, we're gonna take a break here. I need to hack up something because it's hurting my voice. Go ahead and play the commercial. Play the commercial. Where is it, Lou?
I hit play.
Okay. Well, you should have had it queued.
It was queued.
Okay, here we go. We're waiting. Lose.
The human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years, in the missionary fields, and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
Today, we're all going to learn a new term. It's only two words. Now listen closely. Can all of you say constructive fraud?
Constructive fraud!
Did you ever get the feeling, as you're staring at the ceiling, that this game of life we play ain't fair? Seems as fast as we can make it, there's a hand that grabs and takes it till they find us in a grave somewhere. Like a rodent on a treadmill, we keep pushing for it uphill, but we never seem to get too far. Well, if you think you're being taken, then you're ready to awaken to the truth of what we really are. We're all indentured servitudinal slaves, overburdened and bewildered feudal knaves, who have lost our soul posterity through ignorance and apathy, and now we're being taxed out of our graves. And as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb, contented with some socialistic crumb. Well, the naked truth and fact is, we're all saps who pay our taxes, and that is why the banksters keep us dumb. Could the state of our condition be the product of omission, what we didn't learn in public schools? And did our fathers all through history all fight and die for liberty so we could play the tyrant's fools? And can you call it education when it's all indoctrination to obey the hidden powers that be? Did we fight the revolution? Did we win the world wars just to slumber into slavery? We're all indentured servitudinal slaves, overburdened and bewildered feudal knaves, who have lost our soul posterity through ignorance and apathy. And now we're being taxed out of our graves. And as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb, contented with some humanistic crumb. Well, the naked truth and fact is, we're all saps who pay those taxes, and that is why the banksters keep us dumb. While Franklin and Eleanor were telling us they hated war, they made a deal behind our backs. They said the bankers could enslave us for a portion of our wages, and today we call it income tax. But what they failed them to tell us was the way they planned to sell us into statutory slavery. Now it's called constructive fraud. Some even claim the wrath of God. I call it social insecurity. Let's stop being indentured servitudinal slaves, overburdened and bewildered feudal knaves, and reclaim our lost posterity. Rise up and proclaim liberty. It's high time we rock the boat and make some waves. 'Cause as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb. They'll starve us on their communistic crumb. And the naked truth and fact is, we don't have to pay those taxes. Yes, it's time we show those banksters, those international gangsters. So let's turn the tables and spoil all their fun.
That's all.
Government.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world.
us without a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
New world
order. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations,
yeah,
the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for...
That's Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Get the comfy chair!
The comfy chair. Yes, that's right, the comfy chair. I sit in the comfy chair and I am Dutch Jones. I'm your host for the next hour. Thanks for tuning in. It looks like we had a couple other people pop in over the break. We don't have news now. We don't have anything like that. We just talk and entertain. That's what we do. I come to you every day, Monday through Friday, right here. All you have to do is come to my website, dutchjones.tk, dutchjones.tk, and you can hear this. We're also on UBroadcast. You have to just go to UBroadcast and search Dutch Jones. You can find it there. We will probably by next week be on Liberty Tree Radio. It depends if we can get the funding in to buy the time up. And some people are saying, well, why not just stay on UBroadcast? Well, that's UBroadcast is good, and I love you guys. It followed us over from First Amendment Radio. But I want to reach as large an audience as possible to get this information out. So we're going to try a couple, you know, maybe a test, maybe like a couple weeks, see what kind of response we get from Liberty Tree Radio. From their listeners. I mean, they've been there for a while. I think they're on shortwave, too. So, you know, we can get a lot of people. I don't think they're on satellite, but we'll check. So that's something we're going to be doing. So without further ado, we'll get back into it. We're talking about the illegal immigration question today. The phone number to call in is 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. Now, one of the things they're going to put forward, and even the Republicans are doing this, because they're part of the problem, too, they're going to suggest that we all get national IDs. That if we all had a national ID, it would be easy to tell who the illegal immigration people are, and we'd be able to throw them out.
Oh, here we go.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Dutch.
Hey, go ahead.
This is Edward Cornkey from Michigan.
Hey! Thank you. Well, you're on the air right now on my show here.
Yeah, I know. We're listening to you on Liberty Tree Radio. I wanted to see if we could do a relay broadcast off of your stream. So we're testing that tonight.
Great!
And we got everybody on Liberty Tree Radio in the chat room over there is listening to you as well.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it because we're looking forward to being able to spread our message to your audience. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. I did want to put out a correction. We had shortwave time. We weren't able to maintain it, so it got bought out from under us.
Okay.
But we are trying to get back on shortwave. We only had that for the intelligence report, but we are looking for other time slots that are available to get things up. That costs more money than doing the internet radio.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, that's one thing that we're missing from First Amendment. We did have satellite, but they were too restrictive over there about what I could and couldn't talk about. They didn't like me talking about the kosher mafia. About the USS Liberty, so we decided to go rogue, start our own, but I'm looking forward to being on your network. I'll know better by tomorrow how much sponsorship we'll have, but I think we will definitely be making the jump over there.
Well, anytime, you know, anybody wants to start a micro station, whether it be on the internet or, you know, on the radio, It makes a big difference, guys, just to get another voice out that is heard. It's another point of view. It's another opinion.
Yeah.
Love what you guys are doing. I love your website, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I was checking it out through your Facebook page.
Yeah.
In fact, a couple of people heard blitz on that during the intelligence report while I was trying to figure out to get you.
Sure. Well, I'm glad it works. I'm glad this works because we're using satellite uplink. We can't use Skype. We can't use anything else. We've tried... Shoutcast, it doesn't work. The only thing that works is UBroadcast, and it only costs us about $20 a month for 2 gigs of bandwidth.
Well, Well, we don't have satellite, but through Live 365, through our stream there,
mm-hmm.
we do have mobile devices like BlackBerry, iPhone, or...
excellent.
You know, an iPod or Windows Mobile.
Okay.
All those devices, if you go through and buy the app for your phone, I don't know if there's a subscription fee or whatnot there, but anybody with a phone like that can get the programs on their cell phone or their iPod.
Great. That's so awesome.
Mobile that way.
I think it's going to be good. You know, it's going to be 1 hour a day, 4 days a week. I think I'm going to be... It'll help us reach a different audience from here, because the whole point...
I'm sorry about that. Pam grabbed that just before you guys decided on the...
Oh, what? Grabbed what?
Pam Stegner grabbed the...
Wednesday.
Just before...
That's fine.
You know, you guys decided on that.
So. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. You know, maybe it'll work out. Maybe we'll do the show later. You know, it all depends.
Well, we'll put a link up on the schedule page and on the Liberty Tree Radio page. We do that with any of the... radio stations that we have contact with that we know of are in the Patriot
sure.
movement. So I'll get yours added up there. I'm still working on the website
right.
For this week, trying to get everything in order.
Okay.
Because we've had some changes. So
yeah.
It's just keeping me busy, and I just wanted to call in and say hi and let you know we're testing
great.
This out. It seems to be working really
thank fast. You, because that was going to be my next email to see if we could do some testing. But wow, you're ahead of the game. I appreciate it. Right now, we're playing the intelligence report on our FM transmitter here that's going out in our community while I do this, and we're going to rearrange our schedule a little bit so that we play them later after me so that we can just do one whole block. So, but the goal is eventually to show to play nothing but Liberty Tree Radio.
Oh, cool. Thank
so,
you.
So we just got to get better internet so we can download it, but I'm trying to move closer to the hub for DSL, and we'll be doing that within the next few months, hopefully.
There are some creative antenna ideas you might want to look at online. Do a search for Wi-Fi antennas.
Sure.
I don't know if that'll help you with what you're trying to do, or...
Well, maybe if somebody... Because we're about 1,000 yards past where they have DSL, so if we could get somebody else's DSL, yeah, we could do it.
Yeah, there are a couple of interesting ideas there.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to let you go. I got to monitor this.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Now I'm going to be nervous. I got Liberty Tree Radio listeners on board now. Great.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. God bless you, too, brother. That was Ed Kornke. That wasn't Mike Kornke. I think somebody in the chat room thought that was Mark Kornke. That's Ed, his son. He's the brains behind the transmission. He's like kind of like my son Lou here. He makes sure I get on the air. My job is to do the research and make sure I have something to present to you every day. Today I had a lot of time to read and stuff. I did help some people move. But we were talking about the real ID. That's why they're allowing this illegal immigration to take place. They need to have a wolf in the woods. They need to have a threat. They need to have it set up in a way that they have the problem, then they give you the solution. It's all the whole Hegelian dialect thing, right, folks? And real ID is not the solution. Shutting down the border is the solution. The real ID, you know, it's probably going to have one of those transmitting chips in it. Then they'll probably say, well, hidden chips in the bodies. It's just the next step. So don't fall for that. I know most of the listeners of my show, the way they're sounding off on stuff in the chat room, they already know this. They completely know that it's just them trying to scare us into submission. So it's just another form of slavery. This, I can't remember, I think it's McCain and maybe even be Feingold again, are talking about some border stuff. McCain's dropped the Maverick title, and he's trying to talk tough on the border. It's just a scam, because he's in a challenge for his seat down there. He's going to tell the people of Arizona what they want to hear. So the stuff that's going on in the Arizona House is great. I am liking Arizona more and more. I was being drawn to Montana, Idaho, kind of. Now I'm looking at Arizona as a good location. You know, because this show, I can do this from a van down by the river, as you guys know. I can do it wherever we are, but Arizona's looking... Juan McCain, or Juan McPain, PennDOT says in the chat room. That's good. I like that. So we've got to continue to do that. Keep an eye on it. Don't be fooled by a border security bill. They're cutting it already. In the last two months, I've had leaders of two different border watch groups. The Border Patrol Auxiliary, which if you go to dutchjones.tk, you can link to them. And the Campo Minuteman, I had Brett on from there, Kingfish. And right after the killings that went on the border. They doubled patrols. They had two guys per vehicle, two vehicles per area. Now they're back to one guy for like a 30-mile stretch. They do not give a tinker's dang. Well, I guess I can say tinker's dam because it's not like the same dam, but you get my point. About the security and safety of their enforcement officers on the border. They don't care about slowing it down. One, they depend heavily on the drug trade to keep crime up in cities so that they can have militarized police officers. I mean, the local police around here look like SWAT team guys, and I'm talking small towns. The city of Visalia is about 90,000 individuals, and all their guys walking around are wearing full tactical gear. I laugh when I'm at a gas station, they get out of the car, and they've got, you know, they've got bullet-resistant gear on. They've got all these magazines on them. They got the taser on the left side, the firearm on the right side. 30 or 40, you know, magazines all over their body. It's an exaggeration, of course. They got. I'm surprised they're not carrying grenades and anti-armor weapons in their trunk. And they look at you. They give you this look like you know, hey, who are you? And they just look you up and down like you're a perpetrator. It's getting to the point where I'm not doing anything wrong, and I'm even scared to be around them. Because you don't know when they're going to get out and do something ridiculous. You know, two nights ago when I had the gentleman on, Frank Ancona, the gentleman who's got the federal lawsuit that's going against the state of Missouri for not allowing them to hold their, it's a KKK meeting, but it had nothing to do with the KKK. They were protesting the fact that they took down the Confederate flag from a state park that was a historical battle site. And since he filed that lawsuit, he's getting pulled over constantly by state and county and local officials. And when you look in your rearview mirror and you see this guy coming out who looks like he's walking the streets in Iraq, you know, U.S. occupational force, of course you're going to get scared and you're going to act hinky and weird, even if you've done absolutely nothing. And that's what they're counting on, the intimidation factor. That's why they're letting the illegal aliens in, so they can have RoboCop on the streets. So we've got to act locally. And I'm telling you, folks, you know, there's a time in the events of these the situation we're in, I guess, is the best way of saying it, that civil disobedience must go beyond just waving a sign and being on the nightly news, you know, and giving them a soundbite. I'm telling you, these illegal alien sites where they gather, you need to harass them. You need to harass them. Somebody said, just stick a toothpick in their locks late at night and break it off so the little city worker that goes there to let them in. Now, I don't know. Is this happening over the rest of the country? Do you guys have city-sponsored illegal alien lounges? They're all over Southern California. When I was with the Campo Minutemen, we would protest them with other Minuteman groups, and they're funded by the city. They got computers in there. They got ways that they can send money home, you know, little MoneyGram booths set up in there. You know, it's ridiculous. I know of people that have gone up, turned off their utilities at night, and then, you know, made it so they can't reopen them, padlocked the doors, you know, stink bombs, all kinds of stuff, flushed the paper towels down their toilets, all kinds of stuff, because they're usually like double-wide brown trailers, the ones I've seen. I've seen them on the coast, and I've seen them in the Inland Empire. Fortunately, here in Central California, we don't have a lot of illegal aliens that linger around because they were working on the farms until the feds turned off the water. That's one good side effect to the water war that's going on here. The illegal aliens are leaving because there's no jobs here. Construction is flat, so we don't have them here for that. So it's kind of nice. Every once in a while you see a few of them selling flowers or corn on the cob with mayonnaise on it and chili powder. What is that all about? I thought only white people like mayonnaise. But they're all over, you know, they were all over, but now I don't see them anymore. I don't see them selling oranges. I don't see them selling teddy bears wrapped in cellophane or anything like that. So that is one good side effect. But down in L.A., they're turning to crime. There is some of that here in Fresno. Every morning I wake up and I listen for the drive-bys. I listen for the home takeover robberies. I listen for the carjackings. And every time, if they caught the guy, it's always an illegal alien. And I'm not exaggerating. It's either an illegal alien or somebody who plays sports for the University of California, Fresno. I know, and that's not meant to be a dig. It's true. They just, yesterday, one of their lead basketball players just got busted dealing crystal meth and crack cocaine out of his house. It's turning into this weird kind of combination Wild West bootlegger kind of scenario up here with all the drugs in the Central Valley. And if it's that bad here, I can't imagine what your cities must be like. But it's all part of the plan. Now, I've gone undercover when I was doing stuff before to make guerrilla videos for this guy was working for, to these community meetings that they have with Mecha and La Raza and Aztlan. And I actually heard several different times they get up and they say, because I go in there making them think I'm this, you know, liberal hippie guy that, you know, wants no borders, man. You know, hey, everybody's free. There's no such thing as an illegal human. They get up and say, by crime rate and birth rate, we will drive them out of the Southwest. That's over and over again what they say. And then the second level is they are militarizing their gangs. Now, I tell a lot of people the militia here at the church at Kaweah that we have, it's a small one. We know about the New World Order. We know about the possibility of foreign nations invading. But more honestly, what we train for are the militarized gangs overwhelming in a post-collapse economy situation or a riotous situation. I've been through the Rodney King riots. I rented myself out as a mercenary. These gangs are training, and they're armed. The good news is the ones I've seen don't know how to shoot too well. Bad news is they hit innocent civilians and usually not each other. But that's what we train against. That's what this last training was about. It was about folks coming in, trying to take over our church or loot our community, because things in San Francisco, LA, Fresno, Sacramento, they've already looted them. Say 10 to 15 days into the civil disobedience, they run out of their gin and juice, and they decide to hit these communities in the mountains that are a tank of gas away. They come up here, they cultivate the marijuana in the hills, so they remember all these little houses. I mean, there's some multi-million dollar houses in the mountains around here. I just worked at one today, which is... But they're, more than likely, they're the ones that are going to put the pressure on us. The violence is going to be delivered to your home more likely than not by these gang members. And don't think for a minute that they're not being organized by the enemy. Don't think for a minute that they are not being subsidized and trained by all kinds of agencies that we don't even know the initials of. We try to do our best to train for, you know, a multitude of enemies, but I honestly think that's going to be what's getting us first, because we have no strategic or we're of no value here. There's very few of us here in the mountains. So it's not like, you know, they're going to have to come and silence us. You know, we're not Hutari. We're not as big as Hutari is. We're not, nobody knows who we are, really, kind of thing. More than likely, it's going to be these illegal alien gangs, and they're all over. We see their graffiti everywhere, the MS-13, the Serranos, all that kind of stuff. Well, we're going to take a break right now, and I'm going to come back. So you got a song you got queued up? Why don't you go ahead and do that? You should always have something. What do you got queued up? Play it. Whatever you got, play it, and we'll take a break. Normally, we'd have news in here, but we don't have a news feed anymore. So we'll be right back after this. I just need to take a break. Is it playing?
It's coming down, it's coming down. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. With soldiers dressed in black and blue to aim the crosshairs of their guns at the end. I know a man who lives way up in Idaho, whose sole desire was only to be left alone. One day he sold a so-called friend a gun. One day the federal troops showed up and shot his wife and son. It's coming down, it's all around. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in black and blue to aim the crosshairs of their guns at me and you. Way down upon a Waco, Texas farm,
I saw the lawless law there flex its long mean arm. Before the sealed search warrants could even be served, the ATF shot up the place. Some got what they deserve. It's coming down. It's in your town. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in black and blue. I bet their leaders think they're fooling me and you. Now foreign troops, they train upon American soil. They hide and sneak around like snakes that slither and coil. And while the people turn their heads complacently, their federal income tax goes up to fund this tyranny. It's coming down. It's in your town. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed.
Okay, we're back now. I just needed a song there to take care of some stuff. I'm not used to not having commercials and not having the news pop in. Lou's going to take the trash out here in a minute. So we're going to get back to the show here. It's hard to do a show when you got other stuff going on in the background. I apologize for that, folks. But we do this show literally from what would be our living room. We live in a library here on the church property, and we live in a closet back in the corner, and there's people coming and going, doing all kinds of things, and sometimes I have to let them know that we're doing a radio show. They've got to keep it down in the background. Because the purpose of this show is also an outreach for the church at Cahuilla. And if you go to thechurch@cahuilla.org, there's a link on our website, dutchjones.tk. There's a link there. Check it out. Pastor Warren Mark Campbell, we've put out some videos for him. To Teach the More is one that went out, and hopefully more people are seeing that, especially now with what happened to Hutari. We're getting a lot of hate mail and praise mail that's saying, you guys are the next Hutari. Well, quite frankly, we're not that well organized nor that big. So, but we do take the stance that we are a Christian militia. We stand in the gap to remain coram Deo, which means in the face of God. We're not an offensive nature. We believe we are what would be a traditional militia. We choose to take a defensive posture, but yet we're not going to back down either. So we here at the Church of Cahuilla are reaching out. We're looking for people that are looking to come here and build a covenant community in our little mountain community. People that want to join our church can check out the website, come up and visit. It's not like just show up. We actually had a guy 3 months ago, this like hippie dude. I'm talking full-on hippie, dreadlocks, you know, Rastafarian guy. On a Sunday afternoon, it's raining, he's out front in a wheelchair. So that's not what this is. Don't just show up and expect us to take care of you. We're looking for able-bodied Christian soldiers and families. Bring families into the region. You know, you find a way to make, you know, survive here, and then you can be part of the church. The economy is really bad here. We get about a 18 to 19% official unemployment for the area. So a lot of us do stuff on the internet. We split wood. We mow lawns. We do whatever we can to make extra money. But our main focus is keeping the church alive and keeping our militia growing. We do a lot of training here. We have training every month, and then every 3 months we do like a bigger training. We have our own firearms range. We have at our acre hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of wooded acres in the hills here. It's not sometimes I wish I had, you know, I was still in the flatland or in the desert, because this last training wore me out running around the hills here. Not all of us are frontline militia material. I'm more of the alarm squad kind of guy myself. But we're here. This is the Church of Cahuilla. We are unabashedly Christian soldiers. We support the militia every October. We have an Old Paths Christian Conference. We're on our 15th this year, I think, coming up in October. We were going to have Mr. Hall, I think his name was, from the League of the South, but he can't make it. But I know that... Whoa, what? I hit the... Something went weird. Something unplugged or something? Plug it back in. The volume went really loud there for a second. That was kind of strange. But we're in our conference, we're going to have Pastor John Weaver, Peter Hammond from South Africa, Central Africa. He's our missionary who actually is helping Christian tribes over there fight the Muslims. I don't mean with Bibles. I mean with bullets. So we're very active in the cause. You may not know who we are, per se, because it's kind of weird. Our pastor's run for state office several times on the Constitution Party. Chuck Baldwin's been here. Half the guys, you know, the top 10 or top 40 list that was put out by the Southern Poverty Law Center, like half those people have been to our church and spoken here. Joe Bannister, Chuck Baldwin, stuff like that. So our conference is coming up, and we're looking for speakers. I'm going to try and get the folks from the USS Liberty, some survivors from the USS Liberty, to come and speak. We can see what's going on there. It might be a good draw. Wore out your nose, too. What are we talking? I'm looking at the chat room here. It's always strange what they're talking about in the chat room. If you want to get into that chat room, the U Broadcast chat room, I know now the Liberty Tree Radio folks are in their chat room. You have to go to Liberty Tree Radio and get that. Lou, what's the website for Liberty Tree Radio?
LibertyTreeRadio.4mg.com.
I hope you could hear that. He has it memorized because we listen to Liberty Tree so much. LibertyTreeRadio.4mg.com. Or you can go to DutchJones.tk. DutchJones.tk. And as soon as you bring the page up, the player starts. We embedded the U Broadcast there, and you can do that. And you can see some of the videos I'm talking about. We also have a YouTube page. If you go to YouTube and just type in Dutch Jones as one word, you'll find there where we put up a couple videos. We had a bunch up. We were interviewing a former Polish citizen who became an American, and he was giving us some really good warnings about how the Soviets took over his country, and he's seeing the same things happen here, how communism has taken over this nation. Since the Hutari thing, he got a little hinky on us. He's a good man, but I think he got a little nervous being associated with us, so I took those down. That's why they're down. I'm getting a lot of emails like, hey, what happened to the Polish guy? It was a great interview. But I just respected his, he wanted some anonymity. He's still willing to train with us and work with us, but he just doesn't want, because of his job. He works in public safety, and he didn't want the association. A lot of that going on. I've had a lot of friends pull away from me. I had over 400 people on my email list. The day Hutari went down, the situation with Hutari, I started getting emails like, take me off your email list. I don't know who you are. I don't know why you've been sending me this stuff. I had to delete like 40 or 50 people. And I was like, good, if you're this much of a coward, I don't want you. Those of you that listened to the show yesterday, the hour before, I played Pastor Warren Mark Campbell's sermon on fear, the spirit of fear destroying you for the battle. We don't need fear. Anyone that's fearful, we don't want around us anyway. So it's good they take a hike. We had two people that get out of our church because of the Hutari incident. Every day in this community, then when people see us, they know who we are. It's pretty obvious who we are. They come up and they aren't you afraid of, you know, you guys being the next Hutari? I said, we do not live in fear. We live in faith. And we know whatever plan the Lord has for us, Jesus Christ is our general, we will bear that burden. And what's this? Friends are pulling away from you because you got to change your... Because you got to change your deo. Change my God? I'm not sure what that means. I'm reading what's in the chat room there. It's a little... Sometimes I don't get the chat speak. I don't understand what they're doing. Usually Stacy's in there, but she's all mad at me now because I didn't take out the trash. That is the soap opera that is Dutch Jones' life. It's not all guns and glory. It's forgetting to take out the trash. She doesn't know yet that I spent the day cleaning it out in another room and helping somebody move, so I'll have to tell her that after the show. She left in a hissy. So when we get our computer back, she'll be better. She'll be able to take part in the chat room and be back with all your friends. Deodorant. Oh, because I didn't change my deodorant. It says D-E-O, Dio. I thought you meant like Deo. Thanks. Thanks, PennDOT. No, I don't wear deodorant. I don't want them to be able to sense me in the wild. It's one of the tricks I learned in the Army in Central America. I didn't use deodorant. I didn't want the Sandinistas to pick up on my scent. So, anyway, without further ado, we've got about another 20 minutes or 26 minutes to do on this show. And like we always do in the last half hour, it's to promote goodwill and to help people from losing focus. What I really, you know, every day I try to bring this to you, that as Christian soldiers, as lovers of liberty, as defenders of the Constitution, one of the easiest ways to stumble and to lose hope is to surround yourself with people who are just whining and complaining that do nothing for the cause. What does Luke call these? Unproductive eaters? Is that what you, unproductive consumers?
Someone else
yeah,
that.
But I thought he said it. That's an old NAM trick. Yeah, I was born in 66, so I must have did it in Vietnam when I was like 3. I don't know. Rocky Hill Ranger posted, yep, that's an old NAM trick. Not to wear deodorant. But the key thing is, if you surround yourself with people that are going to be in an attitude of fear, it's going to bring you down. I like to, when somebody starts doing it, I kind of say, hey, man, you know, that's not the way to think. That's not the way to talk. And if they keep doing it, I move on. I have lost a lot of friends in the last 3 years as the screws got tighter, because I refuse to be in fear. I talked to somebody the other day that told me that, oh, the New World Order's got a grip on everything. There's nothing you can do about it. You might as well just go along with the flow. We're all doomed if we don't try. Huh. Okay, this is Jaws of Life is saying in the chat room, a gal at work told her that she had been baptized. Then she asked me this, and she's typing something. This should be good. Jaws of Life usually has good stuff. My sister has been telling me that what Obama is doing, and that he is going to be persecuting Christians by next year. Is that true? So a new Christian asked one of our regular listeners, Jaws of Life, is Obama going to be oppressing Christians? You betcha. Today, the head of what used to be Acorn, they're coming out with a new name. Her name was Beatrice Lewis. Told a group of young socialist Christians, I think is what it was, or socialist Democrats, excuse me, that the FEMA camps are in fact being built for those of us that will fight Obongo. Those of us that will not put up with Obongo's little rules are going to end up in FEMA camps. Now, you could either go, okay, here's somebody from the other side admitting what they're doing, giving us prior notice, and go, oh, I better hide, I better sell all my guns and go move to Vermont or something. Get away from the church that I'm going to that's militant. Get away from my militia. No, that's not what you should do. You should tell, when you come across people like this, you spread the good word to them. Say, yeah, it's true. And you know what? We're not going to let them take us without a fight. And that's the whole point of this show. I'm trying to prepare people, the fringe people. I'm kind of like a gateway. I mean, there are people that have been listening to Mark Kornke for years. They're hardcore. They've got their stuff together. But the people who listen to my show are a little different. They're like the people that are now, in the last couple of years, have awoken. They may be former lone wolves. They may be coming back to the church for the first time in a few years, and they're hearing a message. The non-corporate churches out there, the pastors of the Black Robe Regiment are telling the truth out there, and people are coming back to them. That's what the point of this radio show is, folks. I'm trying to create sheepdogs, not sheep. I'm not a pastor, I'm not an elder, I'm not a minister, I'm not a prophet. Challenge everything I say, test everything I say, and if I'm wrong, let me know about it. But my point is to reach these people like this lady who came up to you at Jaws of Life and asked if it's true that Obongo's going to put us in, trying to put us in camps. It's true. Why would they be spending all this money? You don't build something unless you're going to use it. You know? I mean, the exception of nuclear weapons, I can't think of anything the government has built that they didn't use. World War II doesn't count because that was an atomic weapon, but I'm talking about in a modern aspect of how we do things in the world. It's important that we also keep a positive attitude when we're talking to people that have that glint in their eye. You know how sodomites have that gaydar that they can identify other fags across a room? Well, I think patriots also have something. I don't know what you could call it. I haven't come up with a good phrase for it. It's not patriot dar. I don't know.
Paydar.
Something that you can tell. When you're talking to these people, talk to them with a sense of hope. Talk to them with a sense of, this is the solution. Offer them, you know, a sense of mutual interest and mutual support. Don't talk to them just about how terrible it is. That's the difference between my show and all the other shows that were on First Amendment Radio. I give you solutions. All those other shows, as good as they were over there, and still are, they didn't quit. I'm the one that quit First Amendment Radio. But everybody, it's easy to sit around the campfire and complain about what the New World Order's doing. But shows like The Intelligence Report, this show, you know, to a smaller extent, I'm not comparing myself to that. I got a long way to go. We offer solutions. That's why, you know, I'm surprised I'm not getting any calls today. By the way, the phone number is 559-561-8225. That's 559-561-8225. What we do here is we put together flyers with all kinds of information on them. Everything from places where they can get gear, you know, not just mine. I'm not just trying to make, you know, have advice for me. We direct them to Mark Kornke a lot. In fact, I think everybody, have you heard Mark Kornke? Do you know what the Liberty Tree Radio is? That's why we play it on our radio station. So even the people in our town, because, oh, here we go. Bring up the audio on that one. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Dutch.
Who's
Rocky?
Hey, Rocky, what's up?
Not much. You know what? Sounds like you guys messed up. I think Stacy's got you guys on the train duty for the rest of the week for that trash.
Yeah, it's like we didn't even notice the trash was there, you know. Two guys were eating cans of chili and stuff and just throwing it on the pile.
We got his rubber gloves on, what? A little hand brush, a little scrubber bay all ready to go already. What's going to happen?
Yeah, well, in all fairness, she
you
came.
What? We should have seen in the first hour. I remember Ellie and Gonzalez.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been.
How that all went down and everything. Do you remember that after they took them away and all that they put them in that little school, a little private school with a little communist outfit?
Yeah, like, yeah, re-indoctrinate
them. Yeah. I mean, isn't that kind of strange? I mean, wouldn't we want to send him to Cuba with memories of America to help indoctrinate the Cubans into the American lifestyle? You know, why would they do something like that? That was just totally bizarre. There was something going on there, but besides all we saw, that's for sure. There was something going on behind the scenes.
Well, you know, the repatriation of Ellen Gonzalez, I think, because recently, if you may or may not remember, there was an American father whose ex-wife took his kid to, like, Argentina, and they were trying to get him back. The wife died, and he was living with the stepdad down in Brazil or something. Rio de Janeiro, I don't know. Somewhere in South America. That's
that
why
was
I said
recently they got him back, but it took like a bunch of years to do that though.
So if we look at it from that point of view,
which was ridiculous, that shouldn't have happened that way because he was in the custody of the state or something like that. They should have just returned him right back, not kept him.
Right, and Jaws of Life is saying it was Brazil. Now, as a father in a custody battle situation right now, I can appreciate what Elian's father must have done, but the fact that he was being sent back to a communist hellhole. Now, granted, if he'd have just stuck around here, you know, for another 10 years, you know, communism caught up to him here, so it wouldn't have really mattered. He'd still be in communism. But
yeah,
it is a tough decision on that one. You know, there's international laws. My ex-wife could just as easily go to Canada, because she's married to a Canadian now, die, and her husband, my daughter's stepfather, in name only, there's nothing legal about it, I still have custody of my daughter, could retain custody of my child up there in Canada due to some weird Canadian, you know, law. So it was a tough one for me. Before I had a kid, I was like all on the bandwagon, don't send them back, don't send them back. But what I take offense to was how they did it, sending in a SWAT team. They sprayed the crowd outside with pepper spray. Remember that? The news crews were sprayed. It was a melee, and it was a sign of things to come, too.
Oh, absolutely. I remember how they were all protesting. They should have just blocked the street off and not let them leave and see if they shoot their way out or not. Kill a lot of innocent people and really look bad.
Yeah,
I don't want to see that happen, but it'd be interesting what the scenario would play out if they did.
Right. I mean, if they just went in there and said, okay, he's got to go back. But, you know, the family gave up no resistance. I mean, the guy is like his uncle or somebody hid with him in a closet, or he was a friend of the family or whatever it was. But we have that infamous photo. That infamous photo of that jackbooted thug with his, you know, some kind of MP5 or something. I know his finger wasn't on the trigger, but I've been in that situation looking down the barrel of a gun, and it's not fun. You know, and terrorizing that family.
I've seen that picture before. He's got an MP5. He's got that secure look on his face, all concerned. Those are the ones you got to watch out for anything else, because they got the mentality. They're trained like the press corps. Everybody, what's the officer so concerned about the situation? You know, they're the ones that are completely trigger happy, that they'll shoot for no reason, like they're out of fear for their life. Like you probably weren't going to do anything. And, you know, they got that type of mentality right there and all scared that they don't need to be doing that job because they're going to hurt an innocent person.
And that was 10 years ago. Now we have the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq. Guys are coming back after 5 tours of duty, and they're joining what? The local police force. They're joining the high.
Exactly, and I think that's why. You know, I bet you if you were able to look at the records of all these cops that have been caught teasing people and beating them and stuff, how much do you want to bet that most of them are veterans?
You know,
no offense to our veterans, you know, I don't mean anything wrong with that, you know, not blizzard service, all that, but they're coming back and they're not being checked out to make sure they're okay when they go in the blue.
You're probably right about that, and no offense to veterans either, but the ones that love that lifestyle authority, that's what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that's, I'm going to hop off the phone with somebody else calling. Calling people.
Okay.
Catch you at church Sunday. God bless.
We'll be there. Thank you, brother. That's one of our fellow militia members. Sorry about the phone quality there. We're still playing with it. We had the whole board set up for First Amendment Radio, and we had it tweaked for months. But now it's like everything, it's like gremlins got in the system. I mean, that sounded like he was calling from across the room. We'll set that up a little better. We'll work on it tomorrow. But we're not, you know, folks are being, everybody's in the chat room, nobody's calling. That's kind of, I guess that's the side effect of the chat room. He made some good points there to jump back to the topic we were talking about earlier in the first hour. A lot of fallout from that was strange for me personally, because like I said, I'm involved in a custody suit and, who knows? International law has a funny flavor to it, but I just wish they hadn't. Anything that the butcher of Waco is involved in, I'm against. Let's just put it that way. So that's pretty much it. And I want to remind you guys that I'm a little, I'm still hurt and disappointed from not being in the top 40 offenders list for the Southern Perversion Law Center. You know, the SPLC down there, Morris Sleaze. I know a lot of people that made the list. Maybe if the list was 100, I could probably make it, or at least our church could. I know that we've been labeled anti-Semite and all kinds of stuff by them. They tried to interview me one time on an incident from the border, and they said they were going to out me to the public. I said, go for it, I don't care. And then when they did an asset check on me and found out I have absolutely zero funds, nothing they can sue me for, I don't have a house, I don't have cars, nothing's in my name, they dropped it. They stopped pursuing me. So maybe I got to get back in their bad graces to get on that list. So maybe you guys should call them and tell them to listen to the show. Maybe they can get me for saying a sodomite or faggot or something, you know, like I always do. But that's just one other thing. Let's see, what else we got? We've got about 14 minutes left of this 2 hours. And again, this will repeat on your broadcast. If you missed any of it, you can go to dutchjones.tk. And you can, it'll kick in from the beginning, and you can get in the chat room all day. There have been people in there listening. Has anyone gone over to First Amendment Radio? If you guys can, get in the chat room over there. Do it again tomorrow and tell them that we're over here. It would be really nice if you could put a little link so people looking for me over there would be redirected to you broadcast or to the website. I don't want to lose anybody. Every listener I have is precious. And probably in the next couple days, we're going to finalize the bucket challenge. We've been real busy with stuff, but I'm going to get the bucket challenge done, your bug-out buckets. I saw that. I saw Jaws of Life saying she sent me an email. I'm still listed on the schedule over at First Amendment Radio. So it should be interesting Sunday to see how he approaches me in church. He demanded an apology, and I told him he would get none. That's all inside stuff, but you get the point. I'm not going back to First Amendment Radio. I'm going to make the leap. For the first hour of the show, we will do on Liberty Tree Radio, and if we can expand there, we will. But an hour Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday, Friday. We'll have Wednesdays off. You'll have to listen to me here on U Broadcast. We'll simulcast for those of you that are local. yes, thank you, Jaws of Life. Don't pick on poor Nicholas over there. He's lost a lot of people. I found out the other day that when he was doing Truth Radio, they used to carry the Mark Kornke show, and back in the 90s, I guess it was. So, you know, he's had some good people over there. He's lost some good people. I know he's lost some people to the micro effect. They've had to go over there. But he knew when he took me on that it was going to be Christian militia. I don't know why he thought it was going to be purely gospel. I am a Christian soldier. We do talk about Christ. I grab the Bible and read out of it sometimes during the shows. Oh, hang on a second. Okay, we're going to try the phone thing again. Go ahead.
Hey, it's me again. Call from Michigan.
Oh, hello, Ed.
Yeah, it's Tuesday is the day that would be off for you on LPR.
Oh, Tuesday would be off. Okay.
Yeah, because Tuesday's the day Pam Stickner bought, and she's doing a program there called Line of Defense.
Okay, so we will be Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yep.
That'll work.
I wanted to make sure it was...
Yeah. Okay, good. No, thank you for getting right on that. And you helped me set my phone levels, too. You're sounding much better on the phone now. So.
Well, other than I'm surprised, considering you don't have, you're saying you don't have enough bandwidth to use Skype. I mean, the delay on the broadcast is very minimal. I mean,
yeah.
I'm surprised. Usually when you're doing a lower KBPS broadcast, you don't have this almost immediate response. I called you and I'm hearing myself on the speakers now, maybe a second behind me, which is pretty good.
Well, it's weird. It, sometimes it lags, but we were on Skype with for 2 weeks with their techs, and they said it's in the way that the packets are transferred of voice data.
Probably, yeah.
I can hear perfectly, but what it sounds like on the other end is that I'm talking at the end, I'm screaming at the end of a tunnel. It's terrible. And I was upset because we love Skype. I was able to have co-hosts come on because we used to be on a DSL line somewhere else before I moved up here.
Uh-huh.
And I was stupid and just didn't check it.
This is working really good, whatever you're doing here.
Yeah. Oh, I encourage everybody. You broadcast, you know, it's not that expensive. If you just have it, if you use their free thing, you can only have one person listen to you because you're on it and then somebody else can listen. But if you pay, you know, it goes up from there. 2 gigs is about $20 a month.
500 listeners.
I have to look into that myself.
Yeah, 500 listeners, yeah. Well, in fact, I turned First Amendment Radio onto it, and he's streaming on it for free, you know, so it's just another outlet. But the cool thing is people can take this, the player, and embed it anywhere you want. We've got it embedded on our website. We're going to set up a MySpace page just for it so people can listen there if they want to.
Well, the Live 365 thing, too, if you take a look at our website, there's a little widget for that player so you can embed that. And I'm also working on getting a couple of embedded links for our reflectors over there, too.
Sure. Yeah, I used to be with Live 365. That's where I was when First Amendment Radio begged me to come onto their show, onto their network. And I was happy with it. I liked it because of the scheduling that you could do. That's the downside of you broadcast. You have to be streaming live and set up your stuff with a standalone program. But Live 365 is pretty cool, the way you can you know, insert everything and rotate your different playlists and stuff. I like it.
Yeah, well, they did a couple of price cuts since I started, so that's a good thing. And the big problem is where they made it where you have to log in.
Yes. Yeah, people don't like
that, which is why we got the reflectors, too.
Yeah.
But where you log in, you can also, like I said, you can get on a mobile device and whatnot, and becoming a VIP member helps the stations there, too. So.
Yeah. I was playing a lot of patriotic music, and because of the DCMIA or whatever it is rules, they would penalize me and kick me off the air.
If you take a look at Liberty Tree Radio's website, you can see we have bands that actually sign with the station.
Yeah.
They send us written permission to play their music, and we put them up on that page. Even with that, having the written permission, their playlist will do that to you.
Sure.
You have to have, like, you can't have 3 hours of the same song being back-to-back unless you're doing a live mix.
Right. Well,
you know,
we went out and got an ASCAP BMI license just to be nice, and they still wouldn't honor it.
Yeah. You got to be, with them, you got to be on the ball. And I understand what they're doing there. They're watching their own backs because they're playing in the political game as well, keeping an eye on what the FCC and the, I'm not sure which alphabet soup agency covers performance rate and copyright fees. You know, but seeing what they're trying to do there to internet radio, what they won't do with, you know, commercial television and radio stations, but they're going to do it to the little guy.
Yeah.
You know, trying to grandfather that everybody has to pay copyright fees going back to 1996 for anything that they played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. And, but the big boys, hey, that's okay. They're making millions of dollars off it. We're not going to bug them.
Right.
We're going to bug you, the little guys.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny. I mean, they told me, oh, it's all automated. We have no control over it. You know, we don't know when, you know, when you violate the rules, like if you play for, if your albums say, you know, are all blank because you don't have a good MP3 list, you play 3 albums and it's blank and they'll just kick you off. So my listeners were getting angry, so I switched to you broadcast.
Yeah, it's been a pain in the arse for me, and it's something you got to stay on top of. And if you got a lot of time like I do, it's not that big a deal.
Right. Well, this is all, I'm trying to make this my full-time job, where all I'm doing is, because we have the FM micro station that we're playing your stuff on, plus all kinds of other people's stuff.
Oh, your website looks really good, and I see you have a chip-in page on your website. I'm going to draw people's attention to that real quick.
Thank you.
Dutch Jones Radio Program, dutchjones.tk is the website.
Thank you.
If you scroll down just below the little chat room window there, where the back on the air. There's a little tip in there. I see you got $75 raised so far. Guys, if you want to go there and help them out, you click on the little tip in tab if you got PayPal, and you can make a donation there to help them get back up on air.
Well, that's we're going to use that money directly to pay you guys so we can be on there Monday.
Well,
Wednesday,
then I guess
Thursday,
that was shameless self-promotion.
Yeah, but that's good. That's good. Yeah, I appreciate that. We actually got the chip in from you guys. We went to one of yours to the...
And I got it from... I got it from ViewFlix.
Okay.
And I told Joe McNeil about it.
Yeah, he's got it on there.
Yep.
Yeah, that was fun.
That's one of the best little widgets I think they came up with for PayPal.
It makes it easier. Now, when we were on First Amendment Radio, there was a place where people could, you know, download my shows and all that kind of stuff. And we got like $5, $10 there. Now, with you broadcast, people can just listen to it. And if you like what you hear, just send me $5. You know, I don't want to give out passwords or anything for the archives. Just, if you like it, you know, put it on CD, pass it around, and just send me $5.
Well, we try to keep our archives for free up and online, and if you want a CD version of it, you know, we can give you a full CD for a month. Just send us $15.
There you go.
You know, it's like, and as far as I'm concerned, I can't see sending somebody a disc with just one program on it when I can fit a whole month's worth of programming on it, and most CD players nowadays will play MP3 files.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, what's the point of wasting all that space on a disc when I can fit a full month on there?
Right. There you go. And I really appreciate your archives, because that's what we use. We don't stream live because we're up and down all day long with the internet because of the satellite. But my son Lou, he just downloads it and puts it into the SAM broadcaster, and we play it from 5 to, what do we go, till 10 at night now? We do everything, you know, the intelligence report we can download, and we put it on, and people in the community listen to it. Our pastor, he loves it. You know, if it's not on, he's calling. What happened to Mark today? Where's Mark Kornke? I'll go, we're getting up. I'll get it up.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to let you go again, because it looks like you're about at the top of the hour.
Yeah, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to get out of here in about 4 minutes. Thanks, Ed, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Hey, once again, that's, we're going to reach the button there. That's Ed Kornke. He's the person that makes Liberty Tree Radio run. You know, it's amazing, and I can't promote enough this medium. It is not that hard for you folks to spend a few dollars, get an FM transmitter, hook into this feed or Liberty Tree Radio's feed with your internet, and just start transmitting the truth to your local community. And it's highly important. Come on in, it's safe. We're on the air, but you can come in. Like I told you, we're in a library. People are coming and going. I really am desirous of that. Now, I've got a wholesale license for Ramsey. I've used Ramsey most of my life for pirate radio. I can get you stuff for $150 off on something. Some things 20% off. But if you really are interested in becoming part of the solution and being a short ranger, as the folks over at Liberty Tree Radio say, we can get you set up for not a whole lot of money. And you can be transmitting. And I can also help you set it up clandestinely. I'll tell you how to make some kind of really cool antennas that don't look like antennas. That's been my specialty. I have been caught. I've been caught 3 times since I was 15 years old with a pirate radio station. Right now, our antenna's up in a pine tree. We've got a Yagi pointing at the community down the hill, and you can't even see the antenna. Before that, we had a 70-foot tower that the wind blew down, so everybody saw that. But they just assumed because our sign looked good out front and we sounded professional that we must have a license. But our attitude is you don't need a license to spread the truth nor to spread the gospel. So here at the Church of Kaweah, we don't think we're above the law. We think we're immune to some of these ridiculous anti-First Amendment violation laws. Let's put it that way. We are here to obey civil government. Civil government is an ordained Christian. It's a godly thing. It's in the jurisdictional levels in the Bible, but unjust governments and unjust mandates, unjust weights and measures, the Bible is very clear on it. They come from evil and they're to be opposed. And I guess that's the whole point of the show. So for my Liberty Tree Radio listeners that are tuning in right now, you're getting your first taste of Dutch Jones. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank Ed Kornke over there for unbeknownst to me, putting me out there. I hope I did a good show. I hope it was good enough for the caliber over there. But we're going to work it out, so we'll be regulars Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday on Liberty Tree Radio. And to my regular listeners, I will not abandon you. Thank you so much for your support. We wouldn't be growing like this if it wasn't for you. So this thing that happened with First Amendment Radio, it was a blessing. It was a blessing to get out from under a limited system that wouldn't allow us to talk about the whole thing. So tomorrow, if I want to talk again about that federal case that's going on between the Klan and the state of Missouri, I'm not going to be told no. Tomorrow, if I want to talk about the USS Liberty and how the Zionist government is out to get all of us and the Mossad and all that, I'm not going to be shorted. So, this has been the first Dutch Jones radio program on Liberty Tree Radio, the second for you broadcast. I want to thank you all for listening. You got a song for me, Lou? We go out on a song. We always go out on a song. So, he's not even ready. He's not ready. Okay. Are you ready now? Play. Okay. So, tune in tomorrow. We're going to have another sermon up. Let's play the sermon at 4, and then we'll do the show at 5. God bless you all.
Dollar bill you gave me ain't hardly worth the page it's printed on. The reason is it isn't lawful money, and the truth is stated plainly in this song. Paper money, paper money, it's a federal trick without a treat. It's the source of all inflation and the reasons why your ends don't meet. Our founding fathers wrote our Constitution, which states that only Congress has the right to print up dollars backed by gold and silver, which guaranteed the future would be bright. Then Congress signed a contract with some banksters. This happened back in 1910 plus 3. Well, those banksters said, we'll guard your gold and silver and issue paper money for a fee. Paper money, bogus money, it's been proven throughout history. It deceives you while it bleeds you, as it leads you down to tyranny. So now we've got this private corporation, which calls itself the Federal Reserve, whose purpose was to strangle our great nation and plunder from us wealth they don't deserve. Now those banksters sit on top our gold and silver, then warn us not to practice guile or greed, and then charge us compound interest on some paper, which they print up any time they feel the need. Paper money, worthless money, it's a nation's curse since times of old. Things won't ever get no better till we make the Fed give back our gold. Those banksters talk about a new world order and why the USA should play their game. Well, let's throw those traitors out and lock the border before we only have ourselves to blame. Paper money, funny money, it's a ticket stub to tyranny. Gold and silver is the answer. It will reinstate our liberty. We the people have the power. We can reinstate our liberty. We can reinstate our liberty.
Okay, and we're back. I assume we're no longer on Liberty Tree Radio. There's some questions in the chat room. I'm going to do both. We're going to simulcast on U-Broadcast, and we're also going to do Liberty Tree Radio. What they're going to do is they'll pick up the U-Broadcast feed, and they're going to retransmit it. That's kind of what I was talking about before we left, guys. We're still doing the show a little bit here longer, but they need it cut into 1 hour block, so I assume they took us off. What we'll do is we'll encourage radio stations to pick up my show here, because when I was with First Amendment Radio, there were radio stations all over the country picking up the show. I knew that from the email I was getting back. So what we'll do is hopefully those shows will find you broadcast. If we keep sending someone over there to First Amendment Radio's chat room, and you guys can do the link, because we can't get in. They won't let us into the chat room.
We're
blocked. So if you guys as listeners and promoters of the show, you guys are part of the show, man. You're not just listeners. You are the show, and I want you to realize that. And not just because you donated the money that got us on, but because you add to it, you add ideas to it, you take part in it, you are the show. So if you can go over to Liberty Radio Live in a nice way, don't be mean to poor Nicholas, and just put the link, you know, go to dutchjones.tk and you can hear Dutch Jones. That way the radio stations that are listening then can make the appropriate changes. Because my goal is to be heard anywhere we can be heard. If you got a CB radio and you want to hold it up to your computer speaker for 2 hours, by all means, do it. It's the only way we're going to get the truth out. It's the only way. So we're a team here, folks. There is no Dutch Jones. The name's made up. It's like the French Resistance or something, you know. There is no Dutch Jones. It's all of us together. You bring me information. You send me information. You support the show. Lewis and I sweat over it and make it work. That's what it's all about. It's kind of like a digital militia, so, and you guys are members of it. So I will continue to do this, because this U-Broadcast is only, you know, like $20 a month, unless we get a lot. The more people we get, the more it is. But the Liberty Tree Radio gives us a chance to get the Christian militant worldview on there. So, and it's a good, it's an excellent network. I'm honored that they ran me today. In fact, I'm a little giddy. I feel like a schoolgirl. Sorry, don't mean to give you too much information, but you get the point. I'm not leaving this. We'll stay here because this is the only way I can embed it in my website and all the other places. So after this, I'm going to break, and then it's going to repeat the show. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow at 4 o'clock Pacific time if you can. We're probably going to play Thomas McConnell's attack on the Church of Missouri. It's about the Civil War. The War of Northern Aggression. So until we speak again, keep the emails coming. Thank you for your support, and may God bless you guys and all you do in the holy cause of liberty. I love you. I mean that. We're a big family now. Don't leave, and just keep directing people to this so that we can reach more hearts and minds, right? I'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless. Stopping recording now.